Good morning, good afternoon, or good wherever you are. This is Keeping It Real, and I am Lisa Loving. Our guest is Larry Collins. He's a longtime community activist and leader, the founder of PAPA, People of Purpose and Associates, where their motto is, stop pointing a finger and lend a hand. Larry, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation. And everyone don't know this, Lisa, but you are my shero. Okay, most people have heroes, but you're my sheroes. You have done a lot in the community for me and my family, and I give you kudos.
Larry, thanks for saying that. Thanks a lot.
That's keeping it real.
It is keeping it real.
It's keeping it real.
People of Purpose and Associates, the motto is stop pointing a finger and lend a hand. And I just want to thank you again for being here and say, totally okay to cry during this interview. If I start to cry, it's just condensation on my face, okay? So Larry has an event coming up in July, and it's going to be celebrating life and honoring the lives lost to COVID-19 and gun violence. Just kicking it, a rose ceremony. And we can talk about more of the details later, but Larry, talk about your event. What's going to happen?
Well, it's kind of weird you say that. I was at home and my three nieces contacted me, and you know Pastor Mary, right?
Oh, yeah, Pastor Mary Overstreet Smith.
Their granddaughters wanted to keep up and do something in honor of their grandparents, grandmother, and stuff like that. So we decided we sit down and brainstorm along with my wife, who if I don't mention her, she probably would kill me. We decided to come up with this event. Sometimes when people pass on, we don't remember them. But due to the COVID and the long, you know, since we've been able to meet, we decided that we're going to get together and do a rose ceremony and honor those people who are no longer with us. And as you know, it's a lot of people. And everyone deserves a rose. And we decided we're going to have against COVID and gun violence.
The other thing that's taken a lot of lives is the opioid epidemic. And I mean, okay, it's totally okay if any of us starts to cry. If you're listening right now, you can cry too. That's totally fine. But a couple million people in this country stepped through the veil over the past couple years who very likely would still be with us. And I've never seen anything like that in my lifetime. I'm old now, and it just makes me feel like the universe is unbalanced. But talk a little bit more about, it's not just roses, it's rose shrubs. Talk a little bit more about some of the reasoning that your family brought.
Well, as you know, Oregon or Portland, we long time ago has been City of Roses. That means this should be one of the most beautiful states around. Due to the COVID and other stuff, it's not as beautiful as it once was. And my mother, her mother, and whoever else's parents were around. So we're trying to go back and make this a beautiful place. But we want it to be, it's kind of important when there's more meaning. You know, I mean, if I had a rose and gave you a rose, you can plant it in Northeast Portland or Southeast or Northwest. Pretty soon roses start reappearing. And one thing about flowers, there's something about the fresh air of flowering in the summer or the winter. That's freshness. So we want to try to rejuvenate, reawakening a dormant neighborhood or community, and let people know that even though we've been gone inside, it's time to come outside and do it again and start reconnecting with old buddies and friends, family, and stuff like that. And a rose is just, it's not really, it's a big deal, but it's not. It's just a nice communication piece. How can we come together? Because we picked two topics, right? And the pills, all that. If a person who's having problems or had a problem in a situation, we don't want to turn no one away, okay? But if you say you're going to get a rose for someone who lost a loved one, that means everybody in the whole city will be there. So if you feel the need to just come out and want to be partaking of something, and you want someone who's been through some of your pain, then please, it's open to the public. And we just want everybody to know that, man, we care. And we love each other. And love is an action word. And sometimes even here, we may be shut down, shut in, but we cannot afford to shut up. You know, just come on and support us. Not support us, support the community. You know, let's get it going on. And I always said this opportunity, because we've been shut down for such a long time. I use an illustration all the time about Miss Kravis. You know, Miss Kravis was a bewitch, and she's a nosy, one of those nosy neighbors. And we need more Miss Kravis. We need more people that see things and will report what we saw. Okay, roads just get you out there. There's going to be free food. There's going to be music. There's going to be people from the county. You know, if you want to get a shot, COVID shot, whatever, they're going to be provided for you. Whatever your needs may, just come out and just be a part of it.
We're talking with Larry Collins of People of Purpose and Associates. Larry, I remember years ago, in fact, one of the first times I ever met you, you were asking people to donate the karaoke machines that they never used. And you were gonna use the karaoke machines for a reentry project. I'm not gonna lie, I thought that was the wackiest thing I ever heard. Like, what in the hell could that possibly be about? And then you said, a lot of people coming out of prison don't know how to read. But when we set them up with their favorite music in a karaoke machine, they're reading. And I just had to stop and give you credit for coming up with some of the smartest ideas. That it's a simple idea that someone did not write a $500,000 grant to implement, you know what I mean? Can you talk a little bit about some of your vision for Papa and some of the other people over the years that have participated with you?
That's kind of weird you said that, because I remember that the karaoke machine. I had a friend of mine who my sister said to me one day, and was very insulting. It was funny, but it was insulting. She said, your friend, he cannot read his name in boxcar letters. Now, you know, you can imagine how big boxcar letters are, right? He said, I laughed and I thought about that. That was a very horrible thing to say. So he and I decided, and he didn't want to read out loud. He would always say, hey, man, what are they saying now? What are they saying now? Okay, so I would took that, and I said, man, let's see. And then he was a good singer, so the karaoke, the words go right across. Today, he's reading the paper. He's no longer illiterate, or he's, you know, his concept is different. His way of thinking. He does not walk with his head down. He walks with his head high. And so those are the things that people need to understand. I use the term now, we're only sick as our secrets. Okay? We're only sick as our secrets. So with that being said, he and I, we, you know, get together every year and we do events that brings people, whether they're in prison or they're just have a whatever issue, and they come together and we all do that. And that's kind of cool. Over the years, one of my good friends is Pastor Manuel. He and I start off together. Now, he has Straightway Services, doing marvelous. Cassandra, the list goes on. Where people, Perlea Bell, remember Peril, Senseless Violence. We have a dream team or a crew that's really not afraid to fail. Okay, failing is not an option. What I mean with that, sure, you may have some bumps and bruises, but our idea is not, it doesn't take $1 million. Okay, it doesn't take $1 million to give out 1 million flowers. It doesn't take $1 million to just come up with an idea and help someone along the road. Okay, and that's our idea. Is, like I said, stop pointing your finger in the hand. It's easy to talk about Johnny in a situation, but then go back and just help Johnny out of a situation. And our thing is, like, you know, we believe we're community-oriented, family-oriented, and we believe in, like, I say this all the time, you saved my son's life. Okay? Now, that to me is a tearjerker.
That story still blows my mind. I turned my mic down so I wouldn't make too much noise. But can you talk a little bit about, let's just talk a little bit about what your son was going through in that moment. Your son, college bound, this totally smart guy.
my son he was raised by the community. What I mean by that, he had a mother in his life, he had a father's life, and most of all, he had God and his grandmother in his life. And he was a good kid, and he went away to college for basketball, came back one night, and all his buddies came together, and they went out for an event. You know, I would say, came back, and he was out, minding his own business, him and his buddies. There was a situation at a club because of his color, being an African-American man. He was tased by the cops, or he was really abused by the cops. But just, he was an innocent bystander. And they looked over and said, you'll do, pretty much. And they really... wow, that's, they really beat us, you know. And so at that time, we were doing some work for, we had been in the Z-Man tournament. And on the police officer who died. And I'm not pro-police, but I believe if there's good police officers and there's bad ones, he's one of the best ones. So we, as the community at home, decided we're going to do a tournament and honor him. So we had a relationship with the police officer, and things were going pretty good. So someone, I get a call from the police department, your son has been he has a problem at the hospital. What do you mean? It now wasn't a problem, now it's a situation. So I called his grandmother, so I had to rush to the hospital, and so there he was. They didn't really know if he was going to make it or not, but thank God he made it. And the other side of Larry came out, the other side. Because for where I came from, it's like, I would say I'm a success story, but I used to have some issues on the other side of the fence. People should know, keep it real, right? I used to be a major drug dealer, okay? And so, therefore, I had no moral scruples. It was about money. It was about money, control, and power. And one thing I wanted to do is to drop that nice guy and go back and retaliate, which I didn't do. Then I called you, along with Jerry Foster, and you put things in motion. Then they became Ken Body. But the problem is, saying you were able to get the word out, and people started listening.
Your son was in college, I feel like, and he just came home. This has happened to so many black men in the city of Portland. He, in college, comes home to Portland for a holiday or a weekend, goes out to live music or to a party, and then just gets drawn in by a police action that had nothing to do with him. And he was physically injured. He faced losing everything. And there's so many stories like that. There shouldn't be. But see, he also had you. Now, so your son got out of college.
He just graduated. And,
congratulations.
And he wanted to make sure you know that. He appreciate you for saving his life. See, most people say, well, why? Because, and no, we're going to keep it real. Most people, and I say this, if you know Lisa, she's real. She don't care if you're green, blue, pink, it doesn't really matter. If you're right, you're right. And she'll go to bat for you. But if you're wrong, well... That's another subject, but
that's another side. That's me on the other side. Yeah, that's true. Right. That's true.
But she would do that, and so, and if you knew where she came from, you know where it all started, and just one woman, and I'm not trying to be one person. Okay, there's power in the pen. Always remember that there's power in the pen. It doesn't matter what side of the equation, it's power in the pen. And she was a person that took that pen and made things happen. That's why Papa exists today. It ain't about Larry. It ain't about Dwight. It ain't about my wife. It ain't about my nieces. It's about people that are willing to die for the cause. What I mean by that, Leeson, we had a meeting one day, and all these men were saying, well, we're going to stop. We're going to march around the drug house. We're going to stop this. We're going to do this. We're going to go back. And we're going to get our kids. And one guy said, well, hey, I'm ready to go. He said, but I'm not ready to die for the cause. So you're not ready to go. When you're really ready to die for the cause, then I know that you like myself and other people are like Elisa, because you have put your life on the line for many times.
If you just tuned in, this is Keeping It Real. I'm Lisa Loving. Our guest is Larry Collins, People of Purpose and Associates. He's totally fluffing me up right now about when I was a journalist for my whole entire life until the past few years. And it always amazes me how much bad reporting I see anymore. And how I wish that there was somebody out here at one of the media outlets, newspaper, television, who would actually tell it like it is and have the courage to speak to city officials and be honest with them and put it on the line. Because I just don't, there's so many stories, Larry, that are not being covered. And we are right here talking about Larry's event, Papa's event coming up in July, Just Kicking It, a rose ceremony celebrating life and honoring the lives lost to COVID-19 and gun violence. It's going to be July 15th. We got it at Lillis Albina Park from noon to 5 p.m. Music, food, games, family and friends are going to play kickball, so watch out. Reuniting with our community. And the other, you know, Larry, one of the things that gets me, like I said, I'm an old woman now. In past years, the daily newspaper got rid of their Sunday magazine. And people started getting rid of long feature stories that we used to read. And they said, they used to call it the USA Today model. People just want to read short sound bites and stuff like that. But what has happened, I think, is that we don't hear about everything that people are doing anymore. And everywhere I look, there's somebody doing something incredible that I wish everyone knew about, but there's not enough reporters to cover it. And also, the people who are running newsrooms now, I feel like, and I don't want to be negative, I just feel like people that are getting pushed out of the journalism schools, the master's degrees and all of that, and I'm not against that, but it doesn't bring the value to grassroots journalism, to feet on the ground, smaller community journalism. And we used to have all these weekly newspapers. If you had a job at a weekly newspaper, you could never pay back the kind of student debt that people are getting to get a journalism degree anymore, stuff like that. But anyway, that's why I'm glad you're here. And people might think, is this a cookout? Come on. But it's more than that.
Well, I mean, first of all, it's not a cookout. We're just wanting people to take time out of their busy schedule. You've been shut in, you've been sick, you've been, wherever you've been for the last 3 years for COVID, it's time for you to come back in reawakening a dormant community. We have been dead for the last several years, okay? Portland, Oregon, to me, used to be one of the most beautiful cities around. Our neighbors, you come out, you wave to your neighbors, how you doing, neighbor? You were able to take them some of the famous peach cobbler, hint, hint, coconut cake, whatever you ever take your neighbor that, and you're always able to get along with each other. We're trying to just reawaken and get that feeling back. Our community at large, it doesn't matter where you come from, love, it's like love sees no color, I believe. Friendship sees no color. I want to be able to know more about your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your health. What can I do? You know, the community want to know, what can we do to help each other? And no one's asking, we just want you to come, take time out, and celebrate with someone who lost a loved one. It may not be you today, but it could be you tomorrow. And everybody needs somebody. That's why our motto is stop pointing a finger and lend a hand. That's very important. Okay? If there's something you want Larry or Papa to do or any other, call us. We'll come. We work with, we've cleaned the community. We've been into the prisons. We've fed the homeless. We give toys away. I was a DJ at KBOO. I'm saying we're just human. But like you said earlier, for me, I'm one of those guys, I used to work for the Oregonian. So the highlight of my day was to get a newspaper and go home and just read the newspaper. You know what I'm saying? Or wake up in the morning the newspaper was delivered to your house. You know, that to me was therapeutic, okay? The new generation is quick, fat. I'm not there yet, okay? I'm still kind of still cooking my beans, soaking my beans. I'm not doing the microwave stuff with that. But I'm saying that's what we're just trying to reiterate. We're trying with the niece, the younger generation, my nieces, they want to go back to the old tradition. They want to be able to, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Yes, sir. No, ma'am. Just keeping it real. The young people are tired of senseless killing, even with COVID. Some people died that shouldn't have probably passed, okay? Me, sorry about that. I got my vaccine, okay? Not that I'm all that, but there was no option. Some people made the decision to not get them. God bless them. But we want to give everybody an opportunity, to those who are around, that we still have needs for you, still love you, and the community respect. We're going to have people there that will help you from the vaccine. People there to talk to you about the loss of your loved one. Because, let's face it, 3 years ago, we always just shut down. Okay? I became an introvert. Okay?
Kind of afraid of the world. I've been kind of afraid of the world. Don't even ask me to go to the grocery store because people get killed at the grocery store.
And it's sad. You know? I get up every morning, every Saturday morning at about 5 o'clock to go grocery shopping. Okay, 5 o'clock I go to grocery shopping. And I'm in there about an hour. So I got the rest of the whole day. So where else? Because not very many people in the store. Not saying that nothing's going to happen, but I'm just saying my whole life has changed. Okay, I bought a boat 3 years ago. I've only been on one time. But I'm saying our life has changed. We need to get back to, we're no longer, I would say, the walking living dead. We're now back to our normal habitat. We need to be accountable for it. Come out, support this event, support your brother and sister. But there's free food from 12, maybe from 1 to 2. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to be in a line all day feeding people.
Right.
You know, and we have good, you know, hamburger, hot dog, fruit, juice, whatever.
If you just tuned in, we are keeping it real. I'm Lisa Loving, and we're here with Larry Collins from Papa. Larry, I have to give the numbers. I have to give the numbers because they freak me out. According to the CDC, total COVID deaths so far is 1,128,903. There's this other thing called excess COVID deaths. It's totally okay. If anybody starts to cry, okay, excess COVID deaths. It's a terrible phrase, but it means the people who died because of the COVID pandemic, but they did not die of COVID. Like, so my sister lost my sister in January of 2021 because she couldn't go anywhere. The lockdown took her health away. It just did. I'm putting it like that. I have another friend, and this one is so wild, but I had this coworker who I love, and I'm not even going to name names. And this coworker went to visit her brother. Her brother lived in Northern California. He had he was going to get a heart procedure, a totally repairable heart procedure. But when he went to the hospital, there was no room for him, and he had his scheduled heart procedure, and they lost him. He died because he couldn't get that heart procedure. And when my friend started talking about him, I just thought, that's so strange. He sounds just like someone I used to know. And he was one of my best friends from college. I didn't even know. And they had the same name. And people who we lost that probably would not have died. And how to, there's not even a container to put all that in. At total excess COVID deaths, 1,350,401. That's like 2.5 million people dead from COVID, just from physical illnesses. And I mean, I'm going to say this: these were bad deaths. There's good deaths and there's bad deaths. But I had to go find spirituality when I lost my sister. I had to go find spirituality. She was a Trump voter. I'm snapping my fingers. I mean, I didn't even want to talk to her. And then all of a sudden, just gone. Out of the blue, just gone. And my whole family, we all had to walk back like many years of our lives to trying to make sense of that in our minds. And Larry, we as a society have never had a commemoration of all the people who died. Millions of people. Never had a president who said, we're going to make this day our day of mourning or anything like that. So it's like, I just want to say ghosts, it's spirits, it's something just floating everywhere. And it does something to us as a society. I think it does. Anyway,
that one.
Thank you for letting me rant. And
no, that hurt him. That brought tears to my eyes. Because we act like it didn't exist.
Right?
When my family was, we lost a couple people in our family, and we lost them on a Friday, and we buried them on a Wednesday, but only two or five people could go to the service. You know, so we never really honored them as the way they should be. We should. And you're right, we should, some of us, should go to that mayor and say, man, this is the day we need to honor those people. And lower a flag or something, give them their proper. That might be what's on the task. Because, thank you very much. There's people have lost their mom. There's a coworker of mine who doing this coworker. She lost her son. Now, he was a nice guy. Okay, great guy, mama's baby, all that, but she lost him, and she could not tie her shoes for like 6 months. She could not get out of the shower. She could not get, literally, she was in depression. She never, ever had an opportunity to say goodbye. We worked together. We came up with this organization called MOP, M-O-P, Mother on Post, where these mothers are going back to these places and being seen, hey, man, we're going to go back and do something for our kids. If they cry in the middle of the night, if they whine and whatever, we're going to go get them. If we lose them, because I never gave birth to a child, okay? But I know there's a deep relationship there. Being a man who's spiritual, and some churches don't like female preachers, okay? And Pastor Mary told me this one day. She said, well, who was the first person that taught you how to walk? Your mom. Who was the first person that who gave you pie train? Who was the first person to your church? Well, the first pastor you ever knew was your wife, right? Pretty much. The first reverend, someone you knew was your mom because she planted all that inside you. So I said that to say this. I'm kind of getting emotional because we allow those 5 days of grievance and that's it. No one has came out to the park and was allowed to cry and get that ball from it. No one's talking. We talk greed. We talk, yes, we can talk to talk. But it's when someone's hurting and someone, it has come out. My mom died like 15, 20 years ago. It took me 5 years, maybe 10 years to get, one day I was coming from a men's group. I was getting some counseling and I never forgave my mom. But the point I'm saying, I started crying. She died. She didn't tell me. She didn't have no permission. Same with my sister. My two sisters died 3 days apart. And that was probably one of the hardest things to do was to bury those three. But I never really forgave them. I said, well, they're not calling me. They don't want to be bothered. But they're gone. So the point I'm saying, we need to keep it real and be able to open up to someone, to trust someone, to let that stuff go. Because it'll eat you up. You'll find yourself doing stuff you didn't want to do, and you become a victim. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm rambling.
No, when did we bring this up? When did we talk about it? It's so big, and yet it's invisible.
Yes.
Anyway, we are with Larry Collins, People of Purpose and Associates. If you're crying right now, it's totally okay, man, because I am too. Event coming up in July, just kicking it. A rose ceremony celebrating life and honoring the lives lost to COVID-19 and gun violence. It's July 15th, noon to 5 p.m. at Lillis Albina Park. There in Northeast Portland, there's going to be live music, food, games, family and friends. There's going to be a kickball match. You got to watch out, man. There's some real kickball fiends out here. People inviting people to come again in person, reuniting with our community, an outdoor event. And the partners are the Portland Observer, United Salad Company, Safe the Drivers, and My Brother's Keeper. Can you talk a little bit about My Brother's Keeper and the work that they have done over all the years?
My Brother's Keeper is a friend of mine's Malcolm Business, and they're one of those lucky group of people that goes around and clean up the community. They clean up they're in partnership with Metro. They clean up the sites, the homeless sites and all that stuff. So they're keeping busy. Safe Transportation is a transportation company that transport
medically ill people, people to their doctor appointments?
No, we're more of a therapeutical company.
Okay.
We transport children, schools. We even have a secure company. That's pretty interesting.
A security company?
No, secure. Say, for example, if you are having a breakdown and you need to go to the state hospital or you get released from the state hospital, we have a secure company that goes and picks them up and transport them where they need to do. They are in a secure vehicle, though, of course.
Right. That's SAFE, Safe. They've been around for a long time.
Right. And then we have my favorite is United Salads. Remember Ernie Spada. Every time we ask him, he always steps up to the plate.
Ernie Spada, so that's the farm family from East County going back for years.
Yes. Yes, and they're like everything we need. And then we just, Al's nursery, I believe it is, decided that they're going to help us with giving some of the shrubs or the flowers.
Some of the rose shrubs.
Yes.
And I want to change perspective in a minute, but I want to stay on this. What do you need for your event? Because when Papa goes and does something, that means there's room for everyone to help out. So what do you need?
We need volunteers, prayers, of course. While you're praying, if you got a little right hand, left hand, write a little check.
You could use some financial contributions.
Yeah, a donation. If you know of anyone who's willing to donate hot dogs or hamburgers, I mean.
But you need some more maybe donations of rose shrubs. If there's somebody out there who is coming from a nursery company or grocery stores actually sometimes do it too. There's grocery stores that sell rose shrubs. And see, okay, full disclosure, keeping it real right now. This is a keeping it real moment. Let's just start calling it that. I fussed at Larry about this a couple weeks ago and said, what? You have to plant rose shrubs somewhere. You can't just give them to people. You have to plant them. And he said, no, people can plant them wherever they want. I'm going to say, Larry, really cool would be some of these community gardens out here. It would be really beautiful if people made space for commemorative roses to be planted. That is a thing. And also people who could help people plant their roses, because that's something you need a real shovel to do. So I'm sure there's an actual rose community out here of people with property, people with a garden. The community gardens are wonderful. And there's all kinds of them. Some of them are just like patches of dirt that neighborhoods came together. But wherever the roses go needs to be someplace where people can go. I'm just putting that out.
No, I appreciate it. You can wake up on that 15th and decide to drive down the road and have your own little rose and just plant a rose. It doesn't really matter. Just plant a rose all around so we can see Oregon, Portland, the city of roses healthy again.
You're saying go rogue. You're saying rose out. Can you get a rose and just plant it? I love that.
Right.
I mean, that's radical, Larry.
Rose, go buy your own rose and bless someone.
Come back and water it. I'm putting that out. I want you to come back to your rose and water it. But I love that idea, though.
Yeah, because like say my mom, you know, my sisters, I would like to have, I mean, they weren't part of COVID, but they're part of their memorability. You can remember them. I mean, we just have these two different. If a person comes up and they lost someone, we're gonna give you roses. We have one. We're gonna give you. It doesn't really matter. Okay, we're gonna give it. Don't just let this deter you from that.
Yeah. Don't let it get in the way.
Because at the end of the day, we want to make Oregon like we're gonna make it rosy again. We want to make it comfortable again. You know, wake up in the morning to be able to smell roses is awesome. Be able to wake up and read the paper and have a cup of juice or coffee, whatever your desire is. Just coming together and having that camaraderie between your mom and that bond. We're trying to get back there, okay? This is a way to come out and let someone know what you're going through. Because, man, I lost my sister, my mom. Those were the most painful things you ever want to lose. It went for some guy patting me on my back and let me know it's okay. My sons, hey, man, we got you. Okay? People need to know that we can cry. Okay? Cry, let it out. We're human. Okay? Jesus cried, if you believe. He wept. That means crying. All right? We lost a guy last week, Michael. And people, some of the big people are going home crying. But at the end of the day, man, do something. Stop pointing a finger in the hand. Do something for someone that make their life better and make you feel better in the day. And, man, and giving a compliment doesn't cost a dime. I don't know.
When Larry organizes things, he gives out his phone number, and so we'll give that out at the end. Larry, when I'm listening to you talk and I'm breathing, because definitely going to start crying in a minute, I want to ask, what was the first community project you ever worked on? You're a native of Northeast Portland. You've been around here.
The first project, and I'm going to tell the story. The first project, the first project I ever worked on is when I was, and I'm keeping it real, I was getting out of federal jail, prison, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when you go to jail, whatever, you become spiritual.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have the revelation, God told you to save the world, okay? So when I came out, and the first thing that I was told, you say the spirit or what I was told, to create, to go back to the neighborhood that you messed up and clean it up, okay? We created what you call a day of retilling the soil.
I remember that.
Okay.
The day of retilling the soil.
Right. So we would go back into the inner city. We didn't go out of the city. We went back into the inner city where there was dope, there was prostitution, there was crack, there was a big daddy who died and left a motor in the backyard. There was all kind of stuff that we decided to go back and clean up. We partnership with Solve. We partnership with Metro. We partnership with Pepsi, a few other people. Then we create. What we end up doing, we call it Day of Retilling the Soil. Then we elaborate or collaborate with the Z Tournament. What that means, we bring little children in, allow them to play in the basketball tournament. But before the basketball tournament, you had to go in the community and clean up. So we had Solve, we had City, and then we had Irvington Park. So that's how it started. And then, by the grace of God, we won in 2008, talking about that, we won a mayor's award. We got the key to the city for Tom Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And they did Willamette Weekly did an article, so did, what's the other person's name? Pamphlet?
Yeah, the Portland Tribune.
Right. So that's how it all begun. And so from there, the other people that I mentioned, we all collaborated, Pearl and Dwight, and we just, along with my family friends, yeah. And that's how it started.
How long ago was that? I want to say, was that 20 years ago?
At least. 2007, 2007,
that's
2008.
That's like 15 years ago.
2008, something like that.
But you, okay, so at the same time, you also have served as I feel like you were the president of the King Neighborhood Association,
yes,
too?
Chair, whatever, yeah. Had that job. That's,
This is what I want to ask you. You are a person who could very well have just been bitter or mad or just tired of dealing with people. But you've always looked around, Larry. Since I first known you, you've looked around and seen what issues were, and you thought about what could people do? What could people do to make it better? Maybe not always fix it, but what could people do? So we've just talked about this event that you're having in July, but I want to ask you further than that, what else do you see? like after we come together in July and meet each other after being locked, cooped up for 4 years or something like that, what do you see beyond this commemorative event? What else should we be doing?
I think, excuse me, I have a dream team now, and they're my nieces, right? So they want to go back into the streets and be seen. Like I said earlier, you're as sick as your secrets. They want to start pulling the covers off of people. Well, that means make them accountable, okay? They want to go and make mothers become mothers again. What I mean by that is like, you know, don't be your son's best buddy. You know what I'm saying? With drugs, it's so crazy on the neighborhood, we have compromised. So we're just going to go back and start doing some things. We're going to be knocking on your doors. How can I say this? We're going to talk more about diabetes. We're going to talk about more about cancer. We're going to do more things. We're going to have more events that are around kids and families. We're going to make sure that little Johnny gets one of the best educations. We're going to start transporting kids to schools. We're going to have some Papa Vans that for free.
Papa Vans. One of the places that young people get exposed to law enforcement the most is on TriMet, the TriMet cops. I just had to say that. I had to get that out of my mouth because that a lot of people don't think much about it, but transportation to schools is such a crucial thing, and it involves a lot of issues. Anyway, so that's a good idea.
Well, no, but because bullying is still bad. So we're trying to tap into the bullying aspect. Okay. I used to be bullied, okay? And then I grew up being bullying. What I mean by that, sometimes we say things, no, we don't mean to say. And once you say things, you can't bring it back. So what we're doing, we're trying to build a camaraderie between young and old. What I mean by that, my nieces are wanting to go to the highways and create more fun events. Like, when I was a kid, skating used to be pretty fun. They wanted to start doing skating. They wanted to start having accountability meetings. Unfortunately, they come from an environment that was one-parent home, and they had some traumas. With drugs, not in their family. One of their uncles was killed. So we got a lot of stuff that we're wanting to do. But at the end of the day, our biggest thing is more education. And we want to make it fun. Reading is people can't read. Okay? But there's, like, I can read, but we don't spend time teaching people how to do it. The way there's like four different ways, well, there's audio, visual, a couple other ways to read. Okay, and we're not doing that. Okay, I mean, I can retain something if, like, when I read the Bible, it's easy for me to hear it, to talk about it, or play it, and I can retain. So sometimes we just want to educate, but our biggest thing is not inside, we want to go outside and be visual.
Oregon has some of the worst educational outcomes in the entire nation, and has for many years. And it is interesting. That is a totally separate rabbit hole that we can jump down in the future. And I want to open up and say it'd be fun to have your dream team on this show sometime in the future when you figure out the programs that you're going to do. Because, and I'm going to come back to this again. I've done Ancestry, you know, Ancestry.com, and both sides of my family are hillbillies going back. Like, that's who we are. Really? My father's side and my mother's side too. And we've had terrible drug issues in our family too. And I've had ancestors that were murdered, and an ancestor who, you know, ancestors who died of heroin overdoses. And I just have to say the life expectancy in the United States has dropped twice in the past few years. Drug overdoses, according to the CDC, in the year 2021, almost 107,000 people died just because of pharmaceuticals that were on the street. And it's the gun deaths, it's like a little less than 50,000 people died in 2021, which was one of the key years of the pandemic. But I mean, for real, Larry, this is supposed to be the most powerful country on earth, and we can't even keep our families alive. And so much of this is public health too. So I think that going back to literacy is again, whenever you say something, I start listening because I think that you know things basic level, man.
If you walk down the street and you see someone talking to themselves, and you ignore them, to me that's crazy. Okay?
Pretending like people aren't there.
Yeah, they're not there. All right. If you walk down the street and you see a guy laying down there and you kick him, that's crazy to me. If you see a guy who's been there all night long, you don't walk up and shake him, that's crazy to me. No, maybe you might be disturbing his sleep, but maybe he need to be woke up. Maybe he's dead. You don't know. We're in a situation where it's time to raise up your shades, come out of your house, and be. I want to be better than what my mom was. My mom didn't really care. Okay, who taught me how to be the person I am? Another females. My mom taught me. Pastor Mary taught me. You know, and you know, to me, I have to honor that. Mm. So our vision is to come out and bring people. It's time. I'm going to sum it up. To break the generation curse. All right? Drugs. Come on out. Let's go talk about it. Let's have fun. All right? You said you were a hillbilly. Well, you probably learned how to make some good,
Hooch.
Hooch, okay.
They did, and we have family stories about it, and I could, wish I could go back in time, and I would slap some peoples in the face and say, are you doing right now?
Right.
Anyway, it's kind of this, I don't know. This country, we should be doing better than we are, and we are completely ripped apart now. And I also don't think that what we read in the newspaper or read in the media is necessarily exactly what's happening either.
If we're keeping it real, I'm going to petition to the city or the state, whatever. If you are a drug dealer, okay, come out. If you was a prostitute, no longer a prostitute, come out. If you, whatever your cases may be, if you're saying you're not doing it anymore, come out and let the young folks see that you changed your life. Be an example, okay? Quit hiding behind whatever you're hiding behind. I don't sell dope no more, okay? So I'm an open target. So if you follow me, you may follow me going to Popeyes, or you may follow me going get to those places. I don't sell drugs, okay? If you don't sell drugs, come out and let the people, let the community see you. If you're not no longer a prostitute, I'm not knocking no mind what they're doing. But if you say you quit, there's women on the street that are doing what you did. Come, get an organization, start them getting off the streets. Okay? If you, whatever dilemma you've had, whatever issue you were into, you're not doing it now, come out. Our motto is stop pointing your finger in the head. We don't care what you've done. The city needs you. Okay, cable needs you. We need you. Everybody needs each other to gravitate and save someone's life. Okay, it's not too late. Okay, it isn't too late. And so I have empathy, and it hurts me to my heart when I see people, and you tell them about, well, you see a guy in a nice car. He comes up to you and says, "How you doing?" "I'm blessed. God's good." Like, you want to get saved? Well, hell. If God's so good, and God, He is good, don't get me wrong, but didn't God tell you that you're going to pass a homeless guy? Maybe you got to stop by McDonald's or somewhere and break bread? Now I can talk to your God. It's pretty hard to talk about God on an empty stomach. Well, ain't no change in my pocket. But if God is who He is, maybe you want to stop and get some hamburgers. Now I can talk to you about God. That is me. I'm out of there. I just probably don't make sense.
It does, though. Like, how, you know, I read the paper, I watch the news, and I get the sense that this town is, we've been, even Donald Trump trashed this town, right, when he was president. And I do see more people living rough, more people who are struggling than I've ever seen before. So if, and when I get on social media, when I listen to the people that are paid to talk about it, there, it's easy to feel hopeless, and it's easy to blame someone else. It's just like you're saying, stop pointing a finger and lend a hand. It's hard to even begin to figure out how to do that. And what I love about PAPA, People of Purpose and Associates, is you just get up out of your chair and do it. You don't overthink it. You just do it.
It's kind of weird because we never sit around the planning table and plan. I'm just, hey, man, we didn't. Then I would come to you with an idea and say, that sounds great.
Yep.
Then it next, you know, it's in motion. I have been accepted in front of the city council in sweatpants.
Yeah.
Short pants. Okay. A tied out shirt. Okay, no, you know, didn't tie up my shoes. But I'm saying, I don't need no fame and fortune. I'm just Larry. What you see is what you get. When I come, okay, whatever. Well, hey, I could have tied this, I could have worn a suit. But the job that we do as a community don't always require suits. Okay? I don't see you in a suit all the time. I see you just being yourself. Okay? But you're getting the job done.
Yeah.
I called my buddy Ken Body the other day. I said, hey, man, Ken, I need you. Okay? An hour later, he coming back with Al Nursery. All right? So people, when you establish a good rapport with people and you're sincere and people know your heart, I don't get a dime for this. I take it for my family and make it do what it do. So I'm not asking anything. It's going to go down whether you want it or not, because God's in the plan, Lisa's in the plan, Larry's in the plan, and everybody else is in the plan. No, and I'm just keeping it real. But if you're starting something, got some, call me. Information here. I will accept you. I will come at any time.
And we are running out of show, so I want to information. I want to give that information. Contact for Just Kicking It, a Rose Ceremony, Larry Collins. That's 503-839-8676. Or you can send him an email at Larry Collins for you. That's Larry Collins, the number 4 and the letter U at yahoo.com. That's how old school we are, is yahoo.com. And I am Lisa Loving. You know, you can always reach out to me. I'm easy to find. I'm on social media. And you know that I'm going to be doing a community activism calendar on this show weekly. So I have to say, Larry, thanks for being with us.
Okay, I got a website.
Okay, give us your website.
POPAPDX.org.
PAPAPDX.org. That's it for our show. This is Keeping It Real with Lisa Loving, our guest, Larry Collins. Special thanks to KBOO Public Affairs Director Ender Black and Program Director Asia Hawthorne for making this all possible. KBOO Community Radio is reemerging. Get involved by emailing volunteer@kboo.org. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Did you know that KBOO is streaming live on the web? Well, you do now. Just type www.kboo.fm, click on Listen Live, and you've got us. Just another example of how KBOO 90.7 FM Portland works for you. It's your community radio.
KVU has a mobile app. You can listen to all your favorite shows, subscribe to KVU Podcast, even set KVU as your alarm clock. Just look for KVU on the iTunes and Google Play Store. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review.